The Lord has called each of us to his house this morning to worship. Let us lift praise and honor to our risen Lord this day.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill, for that beautiful prelude this morning. Well, good morning, FBC Elon, and thank you for joining us for worship on this final Sunday in the month of April. We pray that our worship experience this morning will be an opportunity to encounter the risen Lord. For first-time guests, we ask you if you'll take a card in front of you, in the pew in front of you, and fill it out. And when you leave, place it in the plates out there in the foyer, the offering plates, so we'll have a record of your visit, and we can follow up with you later this week. And for those online on Facebook Live, we welcome you also. And I've been told that I always leave out a W, so I'm going to try to do it right today. You can find our worship bulletin on www.fbc-elon.org. And you can see the list of songs and what David's preaching about. Or if you don't want to do that, just look on the screens up right behind me and you can sing along with us as we sing today. Looking ahead for this week, this afternoon we'll have VLT meeting at 3:00, and I guess they'll meet in Truth Seekers classroom, but everything else for this afternoon is canceled. No Bible study, but Bible study will start next Sunday, May 3rd, I think it is, May 3rd, at 4:00, and then no youth or children tonight. Also, on Tuesday, Team 4 will be serving at Joe's Diner at 5:30. And, of course, Wednesday night, choir rehearsal at 6:30. Elon Reading Day is soon to be here very soon. And we still have a few more days to collect items for them. All the items need to be in the foyer or up in the fellowship hall by Monday, May 4th. Our May missioning gathering for May is for allied churches, Seasoned with Love, collecting seasonings for meals served at allied churches. A list of recommended seasonings and spices are listed in your bulletin. You can drop them off in the fellowship hall or down in the communication center in the boxes labeled. Before I go into the very last thing, I just want to say thank you to Rob Johnson for last Sunday for leading the music for me while I was in Jacksonville, Florida. What a wonderful place to be. And it was good to be away, and I went to a music conference. But the main thing is I got to hear my son preach for the first time down at the Church of the Cross in Bluffton, South Carolina. It was so good, I went to both services at 8:00 and 10:00. And so I said, well, if I don't catch it all at 8:00, maybe I'll catch a little bit more of it at the 10:00. But it was nice to be able to hear him and his Father John outfit and to hear him preach for the first time down there in Bluffton, South Carolina. So thank you for allowing me to do that. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, now may we lift our praise to the Lord for the blessings he has bestowed upon us. Let's stand and sing, "We Are So Blessed."
We do. Morning.
Good morning.
David, you need to feel better. It's hard. The rest of us can't do what you do. Our Old Testament scripture this morning is not going to be unfamiliar. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, in love, you open wide the doors and welcome us into your presence, saints and sinners alike. You spread a table before us filled with the richest fare, the feast of love and mercy for both the body and soul. We come with joy to meet you here, to celebrate your grace and mercy in our lives. May your Spirit inspire our praise and thanksgiving, our prayers and petitions, as we worship together in your presence. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our host and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues. Let's stand and worship together.
And the upcoming church year. Our congregation has been blessed with the service of our deacons this past year, and they will continue to build up the body of Christ in the coming days and weeks. This year, we have two deacons who will be rotating off and two deacon spots to fill for the fall. At our upcoming Elon Roundtable meeting on Sunday, May 17th, we will vote on the deacon nominating team who has graciously volunteered to serve in this capacity to find our new deacons. To assist in this process, starting today and carrying through Sunday, May the 10th, church members are encouraged to write down names they feel would be good deacons for our church today, our church body. Names can be written on the ballots that can be found in the foyer or in the Sunday school classrooms. These ballots can be turned into the church office or simply placed in the offering plates. Thank you again for your assistance and help for the deacon nominating team. Be in prayer for this process in the days to come.
I'm curious how many people are guilty of the same thing I'm guilty of, which is singing a hymn and not paying attention to the words half the time. So if we just think about 4,000 tongues to sing the last verse of that, if you paid attention, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you admitting that all too often we take our salvation for granted. We forget that we are just sinners, that you cared enough to send your Son to pay for. We pray today as we come together and we give that it wouldn't just be out of obligation, that it would be out of joy, and that it wouldn't be just about what our finances are, it would be about what our life is. Lord, we pray we would give us back to you, that we would go from here inspired by the words we hear to put your love into action everywhere we can. We pray these things in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, worship choir, for our special music today. If you would, let's once again go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we encounter His word again. Gentle Shepherd, you guide us in right paths. You lead us in the ways of righteousness, but we have allowed oftentimes our anger, our rage, our greed, and at times even hate to direct our paths. We have overreacted. We have taken more than our share. We have despised others that seem to have it all. Forgive us, God, for not following your ways. Forgive us for not remembering that we are your sheep and you are our shepherd. Forgive us when we have not listened for your voice and instead have acted in the ways of the world. Guide us back to your path, to loving you and loving our neighbors. Help us to unclench our fists and lend out our hands in hope and healing, forgiveness and love. In the name of Christ, our shepherd, we pray this morning. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship today here at First Baptist Elon. Thank you, Gay and Deacons, for filling in a little bit more than originally planned this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit has already moved in the worship hour this day, and I pray that God's word, the sermon this morning, will continue to do the same. During Super Bowl 37, FedEx ran a commercial that spoofed the movie Castaway, starring Tom Hanks. Now, many of you have probably seen this movie. If you have not, I recommend it to you. But just to give you a little brief outline of the movie, Tom Hanks plays a FedEx worker whose company plane went down over the ocean, stranding Hanks on a desert island for years. The Hanks character was assigned the safe delivery of many different packages for FedEx, which he ends up in the end safeguarding one specific passage over through this entire ordeal. In the movie, Hanks finally delivers the package after he is rescued and returned to humanity, still not knowing what was actually in that package. So at Super Bowl 37, FedEx ran a commercial for the Super Bowl. A FedEx employee who looked a lot like Tom Hanks with a bushy beard and wearing worn-out clothes goes up to the door of this suburban home, package in hand, ready to deliver. When the lady comes to the door, he explains that he survived 5 years on a deserted island, and during that whole time, he kept the package in order to deliver it to her. She responds with a simple thank you. The employee, however, is curious about what is in that package that he had been protecting for years. He says, "If I may ask, what was in this package after all?" She opens it up and shows him the content, saying, "Well, not really much, just a satellite telephone, a global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds." Sometimes we have all the resources that we need if we just open the package. Church growth is a hot topic. Is the traditional church dying? What will the church look like in 10, 20, 30 years? If you do a search on the internet for church growth resources, you will find thousands of companies and organizations that promise that they can provide exactly what you need. A slick website, a whole new image, consultants, demographic information, and a targeted direct marketing campaign, new curriculum material, seminars, and the list goes on and on. Now, I need to say, I think there is some value in these offers. We do need to do things in an intelligent way. We do need to be concerned about the image of the church. While it makes sense to use the best tools that we can to spread the message of love to everyone, we also need to be quite truthful that there's no simple answer. Everyone wants to be what I like to call an Acts 2:47 church. And I'm going to read that verse to you. I'm going to read the whole passage in just a minute. But Acts 2:47 says this, and it says, "Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Everyone wants to be that church, that God is adding daily new numbers, and the growth of the church continues. But we cannot forget that when we read that verse, it's preceded by some very important verses, specifically Acts 2:42. That's why my sermon title today is Don't Forget 42 as we rush to 47. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to this important passage in Acts about the early church. We'll be reading Acts 2:42 through 47 this morning. The words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Repeating Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Our goal as Christians should not be church growth, but instead the goal should be church health. A church that attracts new members but is unhealthy does more harm than good. A healthy church will grow naturally, but growing a healthy church takes time. There are no shortcuts to maturity. It takes years for us to grow to adulthood, and it takes a full season for fruit to mature and ripen. The same is true for the fruit of the Spirit. The development of Christ-like character cannot be rushed. Spiritual growth, like physical growth, takes time. Did you know that when you try to ripen fruit quickly, it loses its flavor? In America, oftentimes tomatoes are usually picked when they're green, so they won't bruise when they're shipped to the grocery stores. Then, before they are sold, green tomatoes are often sprayed with CO2 gas to turn them red instantly. Ever wonder why those grocery store tomatoes don't taste like the tomatoes you pick off the vine? Thanks CO2 for that. But we have to remember there's no match for the flavor of truth and giving things time. So what can we learn from Acts 2:42 today? The first thing that Acts 2:42 tells us is that every church, the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The Great Commission says, make disciples. It is my responsibility as senior pastor to make sure the message that comes to you every Sunday morning is delivered that is Christ-centered and Bible-based. It is something I pride myself on, and it's a big part of the portion of education and the apostles' teaching. It's not that I'm somehow gifted with super spirituality or great wisdom. However, I am given the responsibility to study and proclaim the eternal truth of God in a way that relates to the world. But it's not just me. There's more to growing in the understanding of Scripture. There is no substitute within the church for having a solid educational program. We are blessed here at FBC Elon with a strong Sunday school program and additional study opportunities. We have dedicated teachers, opportunities for every age group. If you're not a part of a Sunday school class right now, I would encourage you to find one. Reach out to Alec French, who will help you. He is our Sunday school director, who will help you direct you to a specific class. Education is not just an organizational effort either. The believers, the members of the first church, devoted themselves to learning. We too need to be taking responsibility for taking advantage of opportunities that are offered. And there are resources out there beyond what our church provides. There are good books to read. There are video studies that can be watched. I want to encourage you to join me on Sunday afternoons for our Bible studies. A new one will begin next Sunday afternoon on the book of Proverbs. The point is, personal maturity and growth. But that's not it. That's not just the only thing. Acts 42 tells us that the early church also had good fellowship. Sometimes ministers, and I'll be honest, sometimes I think this, sometimes ministers discount the importance of fellowship. It doesn't seem to be, quote unquote, spiritual enough. The simple truth is that most people who come to a church are invited by a friend. Believe it or not, most of them do not come to hear my great preaching. They come to be with that friend. More than that, the number one reason why people stay at a church is not because they get the wonderful preaching that I provide every single Sunday. Instead, they stay because of the friendships that they have developed or deepened within others in the congregation. Being a friendly congregation is not a marketing gimmick. It is part of a Christian calling. When a visitor walks through the doors here, it is imperative that they feel welcomed and cared for. I want to share a new opportunity that's just starting this week. Earlene Mann, who is serving in the nursery this morning, by the way, has had it on her heart to restart the greeting process on Sunday mornings, not just in the church foyer, but at the doors that people come in. This is something that kind of fell away during COVID and since then has not picked back up. She's spoken to many of you already in the past few weeks, and starting today, you've already experienced this. There will be greeters at the doors and in the church foyer to welcome everyone who comes on a Sunday morning. If you'd like to be a part of this group who greets, please speak to Earlene or myself, and she will find a spot for you in this schedule. Visitors will not hear the gospel from the pulpit unless they see it in the hallways and in the pews. Inevitably, there will be disputes that arise between church members within the congregation. And when this happens, Paul encourages us to put up with each other in love. This is not pie in the sky. This is a down-to-earth as it gets. Within our congregation, we will find people with whom disagree on lots of issues, some of the very basic issues. Still, we must always remember that those things that unite us are more important than the things that divide us. Any energy wasted in disputes within the family, the church family, is diverted from the basic mission of the church. But that's not all. Acts 2:42 tells us that in the early church, they broke bread together. As soon as we hear this, our minds immediately oftentimes turn to communion. While this is partially true, there is so much more. Yes, when the early church gathered and they broke bread together, it was a remembrance of that Last Supper that Jesus had with the apostles and the sacrifice of Christ that established that new covenant. Remember that we are people who are called together, not so much as a group of saints in the modern understanding of the word, but as a group of forgiven sinners. We just sang about it just a few minutes ago. At times, sometimes Christians are called hypocrites, but only because we recognize that we are called to a standard higher than what we have attained. In the early church, breaking bread was not a symbolic meal as we practice today. It was a full meal. For many in the early church, it was the difference between going hungry and being fed that day. It was a place where slaves and citizens alike could sit at the same table together, a place where station was forgotten and people were valued as brothers and sisters in Christ. At FBC Elon, we observe communion every quarter. These are special times in our worship gathering. If we want to be the kind of congregation that we read about in Acts 2:42, we need to be a church that welcomes others, that reaches across social and cultural barriers. Most importantly, we need to be a congregation that constantly retains Christ, the gift of God's grace, as eternal to all that we do. Breaking bread is not about a few small little pieces that sit in a plate. Breaking bread is about an open and inviting table where both physical and spiritual needs are met. But that's not all. The fourth thing that Acts 2:42 tells us is that the early church devoted themselves to prayer. There is no such thing as a healthy church without it. Why? What does prayer do for us? First, as we pray, our goal is not to make our requests known to God, because guess what? God already knows them. Our important, most, which is much more important, much of what we're doing is making ourselves conscious of God's perspective and trying to align ourselves with it. When we voice our concerns to God, we are forced to make them specific and explicit. That gives us clarity. In addition, as we bring those to God, we cannot help but think about how they sound. Are we being selfish? Are we focused on the details, or do we see the big picture? Are the desires of our heart true to God's character? Prayer changes us. Never is prayer so powerful as when we pray for a family member or friend whose alienation from God is causing real pain in their life. As we pray for that person, we begin to share in that divine desire to welcome them into the kingdom. We see the hurt that rises when life is lived without a meaningful purpose. We also heighten our sensitivity to opportunities to share our faith in ways that can redeem a life. I also believe that prayer makes a real difference in what happens in the world. Can I explain the mechanism in scientific terms of prayer? But I truly believe that God is active in this world. Our prayers do have an impact on what happens. As a person who grew up in a mathematical household, as many of you know, both my parents were mathematicians, and my brother is in the field of mathematics as well, numbers speak to me. They always have. I may not be very good at it, but they do speak. And when I look at research statistics on church participation, there are some interesting numbers and conclusions that can be made. The number one reason that people give for not attending church is that it's too boring. I try to think about that every time I write my sermon, every single Sunday. The second most common reason for not attending church is that it's irrelevant. I think about that too. Are my sermons speaking to real life? Are our Bible studies speaking to real life? Is what I'm saying something that applies to everyday life? Third most common reason is the perception that the church is just after people's money. Yes, the church must deal with finances. However, we try not to overemphasize giving here at First Baptist. Generous giving is an element of a mature, growing church. This passage later talks about people selling what they had and giving it to the church to be distributed to those in need. Am I going to ask you this morning to give everything that you have to God? Well, yes. Yes, I am. But not in the sense that you think. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then all your resources, physical and spiritual, are to be given to God in use in accordance to His will. That does not mean I'm asking that you give everything to the church and put it all in the offering plate. I ask that you give yourself to the church. Do not hold anything back. This is a sign of personal spiritual maturity. When we choose to do this, all of a sudden our lives and purpose have greater focus. There's no question that a healthy church is a giving church. The primary benefit is not that the church has more resources to use for its work, though that helps. The primary reason is that a giving church is a committed and focused church where the members are listening to God's direction. They're active and involved because they want to see their resources put to good use. In closing this morning, Jesus says that we should be the salt of the earth. Being the salt, becoming a fully committed Christian, does not happen overnight. It's a process. So my question is, where are you on the spiritual scale of the what's right and what's wrong, of being the salt or not? It's a matter of spiritual growth. We should know where we stand, and we should know as God continues to push us and move us. If your heart is heating up for the love of Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to do something about it. First Baptist Elon can be a great place to do it. but find somewhere to serve, to honor God. And that's where we become an Acts 2:42-47 church. And that should be our goal. Let's pray. Father God, as we come into your presence this day, we are reminded of the responsibility that we carry, the same responsibility that those first century Christians carried as the church developed and as it grew. May we not forget that your role in spiritual health for our congregation is of the most important. Father God, we know that as we seek to honor you through worship, through service, through giving, through prayer, through teaching, and through reaching out, in all these ways, we are furthering your kingdom by honoring and following you. That's what we're called to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to sing our closing hymn this morning, I'm going to ask Deacon Brian Kerr if he'll stand down front for the invitation. Maybe for the first time today, you recognize what your role is, and that is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're embracing him for the first time this day, I encourage you to come down front. Brian will welcome you as a brother in Christ. Maybe you're seeking a place to honor and serve Christ in a way that is directed and focused on building his kingdom. First Baptist Elon can be that place for you. If you have questions about our church, come down front, talk to someone. You can come pray at our altar. Our deacons will pray with you. You can meet in the foyer if you have questions, and we'll be there to answer them. Or maybe today you're struggling. Maybe you've gone off the path. Maybe you've become disillusioned with your role as a believer, or maybe even disillusioned as a role in the part of the established church. If that's where you are, we'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. We'll help you. We'll guide you. But most importantly, come. Don't put it off. Come today. Let's stand and sing.
To admit, when I saw the title of the sermon, I was trying to figure out why we were going to be talking about Jackie Robinson and Tom Glavine, but we got better than that. Would you receive this benediction, please? May you go from here devoted to the apostles' teaching, bound together in fellowship and steadfast in prayer. May you break bread with glad and generous hearts, reflecting the awe and the love of Christ to everyone you meet. Go in peace. Amen.